Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Yud Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur on Daf Yud Beis. Almost halfway down, you'll notice a new Mishnah. Before we turn to the Mishnah itself, let us glance at the diagrams, the illustrations in the Pirush Chai illustration 180. You'll find this at the bottom of page 36. What do we see? We see a sukkah. It's covered by bundles. And the caption taken from the Mishnah reads, Chavilei Kash v'chavilei Eitzim v'chavilei Zrodim. It's not important to translate right now each item here, but just to note that they're bundles of branches, different kinds of branches. The Mishnah says that you shouldn't use bundles as schach. However, in 181, you can see the bundles have been untied. If they're untied, then there's no problem. And picture 182 shows you bundles used as walls for your sukkah. Now the Mishnah. Chavilei kash v'chavilei eitzim v'chavilei zrodim ein mesachichin bohen. You are not to use them as schach. V'kulan shehitiron ksheros. If they are untied, then they are acceptable. V'kulan ksheros l'tfanos. The bundles that were unfit as schach, they are acceptable to serve as walls. Before we begin the Gemara, we glance at the side where we have our Nosei Mivneh heading, where we feature a topic together with a structural note. So we've written on the side, and there's stages. This Gemara has a very deliberate structure to it. First, we note that there are two Mishnayos. Chavilei Kash, our Mishnah, that speaks about bundles, ein mesachachin, not to use bundles as schach. And number two, another Mishnah, it's later in this perek, hachoteit begodish. The Mishnah there describes someone who comes to a heap of straw. And it's a solid heap of straw. And he then starts to hollow out this heap, and lo and behold, after he hollows it out, he has now an airspace in which he can sit, and above him remains straw, which will serve as his schach. You can see this illustrated on page 43, illustration 214. In that picture, in what's taking place there, you don't have the placing of schach on the top. Rather, the schach is automatically there after you hollowed out the sukkah, the hole, creating the airspace in which you would dwell. So that's the case of Chotet Begodish. We have two Mishnayos, and the Gemara, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, you'll see Rabbi Yankiv presents to us Rabbi Yochanan, two Beis Te'omim. And they're highlighted in our markings with diamonds. Shnei Te'omim, two explanations for the two Mishnayos, one per Mishnah. Now, we don't know which explanation matches which Mishnah, but one explanation states, Gezeiras Otsar. In other words, one of these Mishnayos represents unfit schach on a rabbinic level, meaning midoraisa, it's okay. But on a rabbinic level, we don't want you doing something, because if we allow you to do this thing, which we can't explain it, we have to wait for the Gemara, but if we allow this, you could come to a situation of a sukkah that's not acceptable even on a Torah level. So one of these two Mishnayos, you have Chavilei Kash and you've got the Chotek Begodish, one of these two is explained in terms of Gzeiras Otsar, a rabbinic problem. Otsar is a storage facility, and we'll see, of course, in the Gemara how that figures. Number two, the second explanation for one of the two Mishnayos, is Ta'ase V'lo Min Osui. Now, that is based on a posuk in the Torah. In our previous year, we spent a fair amount of time dealing with Ta'ase V'lo Min Osui, but the posuk says, Chag HaSukkos Ta'ase L'cha, that there's an issue of Ta'ase means making, that when you make the sukkah, it shall be made. At the point of making, it shall be kosher, and not a structure that when made was unacceptable, and all you did some type of what's called tikkun kal to make it look like a sukkah, or to be able to use it. The main point is that ta'aseh, when you make it, it shall be made at the point of the making, it shall already be kosher. So what do we have so far? We have two Tanaic sources. The reasoning behind each one of the sources is stated, but the which reason applies to which source is not clear. So we've noted here, Matras HaGemara is Eza Tam Shayach Le'eza Mishnah. The purpose of the Gemara is to figure which explanation fits with which Mishnah. Double underlines will appear in this Gemara. These are Hadgoshas Hashemos Hashutofim L'malach HaGemara. We're highlighting the different names of the Rabbonon that are Shayach to the development of this Sukya. Now, we turn to the Gemara. The Gemara opens up with, note, a long question. Following the long question will be a long answer. So we cover a number of lines of Gemara simply with a question and then an answer. The Gemara. Rav Yankiv. Rav Yankiv tells us, Shamas minei de Rav Yochanan tarti. I heard from Rav Yochanan two explanations for points mentioned in the Mishnayos. Chadoha, one explanation was relevant to our Mishnah, the Idoch, and the other explanation was relevant to the Mishnah later on. Hachoitet begodish la'asos lo sukkah ein asukkah. One who hollows out a pile of hay in order for it to serve as a sukkah, it's not acceptable. So you have two Mishnahs, our Mishnah and the Mishnah there on Tezvav, on Daf Tezvav, just a couple Daf from here. Chado mishum zeras oitzer v'chado mishum taseh v'lemotz min hosi. One of the Mishnayos is unfit only on a rabbinic level, and the word that keys you in to it being rabbinic is the word gezera. It means a rabbinic ruling or a fence that they impose so as not to come to a more serious problem, a Torah level violation. So one of them is called gezeras otzer. Otzer, we'll see how we're going to use that term a little later, but it means a storage area. And chado, again, gezeras otzer means don't do something because you might come to using an otzer, a storage area. The chado, and one of the Mishnayos is explained in terms of a psul doraisa, mishum ta'aseh velo min ha'osui. Make the sukkah in a state of kashrus and don't rely on a sukkah that when it was made it was posel and I now come to use it after its initial making was made improperly. Two diamonds, each diamond will correspond to one of these two Mishnayos. V'lo yodano, says Rabbi Yankiv, and I don't know, hey minayu mishum otzar, v'hei minayu mishum taseh v'lo monosui, and I don't know which explanation applies to which Mishnah? Hey, Minayim, I don't know which Mishnah is explained by the Otsar and which Mishnah is explained in terms of Taaseh Velo Min HaOsui. So far, if some of you are finding this difficult or a bit abstract, have no fear, it's understandable. But what you should see at this point is the structure. Two Mishnayos, two explanations, and we have to match explanation to which Mishnah. The Gemara, after Rabbi Yankiv tells us, I don't know which is which, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu Nechsi Anatz, Rabbi Yirmiyahu says, well, we'll answer this, let's see on our own. Now it's important to note that when we squiggle underline Rabbi Yochanan to show that Rabbi Yankiv introduced his discussion with Rabbi Yochanan's saying two explanations, and here Rabbi Yirmiyahu is going to use a comment made by Rabbi Yochanan as quoted by Rabbi Chiyo Barabo to answer the problem. So that which Rabbi Yankiv didn't know, Rabbi Yirmiyahu is bringing to the fore by quoting Rabbi Chiyo Bar Abba, in turn who quoted Rabbi Yochanan. Mipnei ma omru chavile kash v'chavile etzim v'chavile zrodin ein mesachechin bohen. So right away you can see we're referring to our Mishnah, the Mishnah of the chavile kash, the bundles. Now bundles of straw or of wood, in and of themselves, they're bundles of what? Of material that's kosher for schach. We learned in our previous year, schach must be dovar she'eno mekabel tuma v'gidula menoretz. Now, bundles of straw, they don't mekabel tuma, they're not vessels, so they're not capable of absorbing defilement as per the rules of defilement, and it grows from the ground. So what's wrong with taking piles of bundles of straw and placing it on top of a sukkah as schach? What's wrong with that? So that's what we're explaining now. Why was it said that these chavilois are ein mesach bohen? Don't use them as schach. Why not? Pe'omim she'odom bo min asoda bo erev. The chavilosu al ksefo. At times, people come from their fields in the evening, and they have their bundles. They have bundles of straw with them. Umalu manicho agabi sukasoi kedeli apshon. He throws them on top of his hut to have them dry out. So he has bundles thrown on the top of a hut for drying purposes. Now, we must emphasize, this is a point that we've discussed in the past, and let's quote Shitas Beis Hillel, does not require a sukkah to be made with the purpose of the fulfillment of the mitzvah of sukkah in mind. In one word, it doesn't need to be lishma. However, and we discussed this in the past, everyone agrees, even Beis Hillel insists on schach placed on the top for the purpose of creating shade. It's not enough that you walk into a booth and it happens to have a covering on it, a covering of branches even, a covering of kosher material. It's not enough. The sukkah must be covered with the purpose of creating shade. In fact, we saw in a previous sukkah that it's not even enough if the sukkah is covered to have a covering for the sake of modesty, namely that people from a higher point shouldn't be able to look in. That's not enough. The sukkah must be covered with the purpose of creating shade. Now let's think about it. In this story, person comes in from the field and he's got bundles of hay and he wants them to dry out. So what does he do? He tosses them on top of a hut. And they'll dry up there on the top of the hut with some kind of like sparse covering on it, a screen covering. And he tosses these bundles on the top of his hut. For what purpose? For the purpose of them drying out. Let's continue in the Gemara. V'nimlach aleihen l'sikuch. And he changed his mind, and he says, the owner says, hey, you know, the holiday of Sukkot is coming. But there I got above my head, I've got bundles of straw. It's good for schach. I want it to serve as schach. It doesn't do anything. It just has this change of mind. V'hatoyru omro ta'aseh v'lo min he'osui. Now the scenario described in this Gemara of someone coming in from the fields and tossing bundles of straw on the top of a hut in order for it to dry out, that is not kosher on a Torah level, on a Doraisa level. Why not? Because the schach was not placed on the top in a kosher way. It was placed for drying purposes, not for shade creation. So now, Let us talk about momentarily about someone who tosses bundles on the top of a sukkah, bundles of straw, for the purpose, not of drying out, for the purpose of serving as schach. So what Rabbi Yochanan just said is that if we were to allow a sukkah whose covering was through bundles of straw for the purpose of schach, someone else will come along and think, even when bundles were placed on the top for drying out purposes, that also would be okay. Now that drying out situation is not acceptable midoraisa. Come along the Rabbanan and say, you know what? Don't even put bundles of straw on the top of a hut for schach purposes either. So that restriction, don't put bundles on for schach purposes, that is a rabbinic restriction. The Rabbanan, we're being a little repetitive here, but the Rabbanan are saying, don't put them on, the bundles of straw, for schach purposes, because the next guy is going to come to use a sukkah whose covering was put on for the purposes of drying out. And that is not acceptable on a Torah level. So now our Mishnah, which says don't use bundles as schach, midaha mishum gezeras osar, we continue in the Gemara, from the fact that our Mishnah here of Chavilei Kash is a gezera in anticipation of the Otsar case. The Otsar case was the storage facility for drying out. So now we've associated one of the diamonds above, the Gzeiras Otsar diamond, is attached to our Mishnah. Ha, the Mishnah of Choytet Begodish. Mishum ta sevelo min ha'osui. The problem in the Mishnah on Daf Tes Vav, which we quoted here in the frame above, ha Choytet Begodish, lasos lisukeh in a sukkah, you know what that is? That's a case of a sukkah. That sukkah would not be good even on a Torah level. What is the guy doing in picture 214? He's hollowing out a pile of straw. And after it's hollowed out, he looks above and he says, voila, I've got a covering over my head of kosher schach material. Yeah, but it wasn't placed on there for shade purposes. It was just part of a bundle. So a covering that is there, but not because of shade for shade creation, that's not good on a Torah level. So what's described in the case of Chotei Begodish is a sukkah that's no good. It's not acceptable on a Doraisa level, and that's because of the rule that says Ta'aseh, make the sukkah initially in a kosher form, and not use a sukkah that's mina osui, that was a result of something that came about through psul, through something that's not acceptable. This is the end then of Rabbi Yirmiyah. As far as Rabbi Yirmiyah is concerned, things are very clear. He has a quote of Rabbi Yochanan that indicates that Rabbi Yochanan himself attached Gzeiras Otsar to our Mishnah. Now, Rabbi Yochanan also had information from Rabbi Yochanan. However, Rabbi Yankiv, the Gemara says, Ha du Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, the arrow will help you find where Rabbi Chiya bar Abba was mentioned. We have him dashed underlined as well. Rabbi Yankiv did not hear Rabbi Chiya bar Lo Shmiole, means Rabbi Yankiv did not hear Rabbi Chiya bar Abba's teaching. So he didn't have the information that Rabbi Yirmiyah had, and hence Rabbi Yankiv was left in the dark. He was unclear. Omar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi comes and challenges. He basically comes to challenge that which Rav Yirmiyah quoted in the name of Rav Chiya bar Abba, who quoted Rav Yochanan as it being very clear that our Mishnah is to be explained in terms of Zeras Otzer and the Chaitik Begadish was definitely a case of Tasev Elamina Asi. Rav Ashi challenges that. Now, you see, Rashi, in presenting Rav Ashi, he says, seven lines from the bottom, Om Rav Ashi, Makshi Adi Rebbe Yankiv. To explain the Gemara in terms of Rashi, in Rabbi Yankiv's mind, even though it wasn't clear which explanation applied to which Mishnah, but what was clear was that one explanation applies to one Mishnah, and the other explanation applies to the other Mishnah, and we saw that through Rabbi Yirmiyah's presentation. Rav Ashi says, who says that things are so clear cut? Rav Ashi says, who says things are so clear cut? We had two diamonds above which introduced two explanations. Who is to say that I can't switch the diamonds with the other Mishnah contrary to what Rabbi Yirmiyah reported? In other words, instead of saying that our Mishnah is explained in terms of Gzeras Oitzar and Chaitik Begadish is explained in terms of Tasev Elimin Asui, maybe our Mishnah is a case of Tasev Elimin Asui and the case of Chaitik Begadish is Gzeras Oitzar. Let's see this in the Gemara. This question lasts a number of lines, hence we have a long question marking. Omar Rav Ashi, Otu Chavile Kash V'Chavile Eitzim Mishum Gzeros Oitzor Iko Mishum Tasev Elamin Osui Leka. And we continue. Vachoitit Begodish Mishum Tasev Elamin Osui Iko Mishum Gzeros Oitzor Leka. Each one of these Mishnayos can be explained only in the limited way you explained it before. Let's focus in on this. Chavile Kash, the case of the bundles on top of the hut. Our Mishnah spoke about about bundles of straw are not suitable for a sukkah. Maybe our Mishnah is referring to the very case of the guy who threw the bundles on the top for drying purposes, and the Mishnah is then saying chavilei kash, chavilei yitzim, chavilei zrodim that were put on the top of the sukkah for drying purposes is ein mesachah ben. It's not kosher for schach. Now, in that case, where the bundles were put on the top for drying purposes, and then you decide later on, hey, I want this to be my sukkah for the holiday of Sukkot, that is not acceptable on a Torah level. That's Tasev Elamina Asui. You're supposed to make the sukkah by having put the covering on for shade purposes. We just described the guy who had put the bundles on for drying purposes and only later on deciding that he wants to use it as a holiday, as a sukkah mitzvah of sukkah. That is tase velomin osui. That is, what does again that phrase mean? Tase, make your mitzvah item in a state of kashrus, and don't use something that was not made in a state of kashrus. And based on the fact that we're darshing the word taseh, which is a Torah word, we're describing something that's not fit from a Torah standpoint. So could it not be that our Mishnah is a problem, represents or reflects the problem of taseh v'lemosui? And the case of Chaitik Begadish? No, you know what? That could be describing someone that hollows out a pile of straw, and he then shakes the upper level, which is the roof, he shakes it for the purpose of it serving as schach. And we tell him, you know, even though you adjusted the top layer of straw with shade purposes in mind, we don't want you to do that. We don't want you to sit in that for sukkahs, because the next guy might hollow out his pile of straw without doing anything for the purpose of sukkahs, without adjusting the top. So even though you did something that's acceptable midaraisa, we tell you midarabonon, don't rely on that, because the next guy might come to hollow out his pile of straw without doing anything, and that would be the daraisa problem. And what you're doing, we don't want you to do midarabonon. Don't hollow out a pile even if you're going to shake the top. So what did we just do? We just effectively described the Mishnah of Chotei Begodesh on a rabbinic prohibition level. That's Rav Ashi's question. Why was it so obvious to Rav Yankiv above, Rav Yankiv and company above, that one explanation is reserved for one Mishnah and the other explanation is reserved for the other Mishnah, and that the explanations couldn't be switched around? The Gemara answers, Rabbi Yochanan Omar Loch. Conveniently, it's very important here that it's the Gemara is presenting what Rabbi Yochanan would answer to Rav Ashi. In other words, what Rav Yankiv was clear on was that one Mishnah is explained by one explanation. You will see this in the words. It's provable from the text of the respective Mishnayos. And the house marking that appears very shortly on the side is explained, Hocha Hosam. We've highlighted these words. Hochochas Rabbi Yochanan Le'eze Hezbur Shayach Le'eze Mishnah. We're going to show through the words, through the text, how each Mishnah is to be explained by only one of the explanations. The Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lo, Rabbi Yochanan would tell you, Hocha, here in the Chavilei Kash Mishnah, our Mishnah de Kotoni, Ein Misachin Bohen, the expression of don't use them, don't use the bundles of straw as schach. L'chadchilohu di'ein misachin. As a first choice, we're telling you don't use it. So our Mishnah is talking about a person who is putting them on for schach purposes. He's putting them on for shade purposes. Our Mishnah is not talking about something that is problematic on a Torah level. Our Mishnah is reflecting a rabbinic restriction by saying ein misachin when it's telling me don't, as a first choice, use bundles of straw for your schach. Mishum gzeiros otsar, because you might come to, or the next guy will come to use his storage facility where the bundles were placed for drying purposes and decide afterwards to use that as his sukkah. But from a Torah level, a person who puts bundles on top of a hut for shade, for schach purposes, that's okay. True, we're telling you don't do that, but that's a rabbinic consideration. Hosam dekotoni, there, the Mishnah Daf Tezvav that spoke about Chotei Begodesh, it said, Eino sukkah, the language was, one who hollows out a pile of straw, it is not a sukkah. That means afilu dieved midoraisa nami ein sukkah. That means even post facto, from the Torah standpoint, it is not a good sukkah. This once again, the language of the Mishnah shows us that the case described there was someone who simply hollowed out a pile of straw and did nothing to the roof, and said to himself, lo and behold, I have a roof above me that seems to be kosher. So we're telling you it's not kosher because it was not made in a kosher sukkah fashion. The top was a top that happened to develop on its own by your hollowing it out. It was not placed on the top for shade creation purposes. So the Mishnah of Chotei Begodesh is clearly the Mishnah to be explained as a psul d'oraisa. The slash mark indicates that which follows is a new trend of thought. On the side, we have a topic heading where we mention sichuch bechitzim, the covering of a sukkah using spears, or a chetz is an arrow. Let's say instead of a spear, an arrow. However, point will be point. That's a pun. That's in poor taste, maybe. But the idea here will be common to the two. There are two elements when you're dealing with a chetz. The chetz. And by the way, there are illustrations that accompany this section. They are found on page 37. The Gemara will make reference to Zechorim and Nekevos. Now, Zohar is a male, and Nekeva is female. Now, these are words for illustration purposes. The Zohar, the male, is something that is inserted into the female. So that if you look at illustrations, on page 37, illustration 183, bearing in mind that everything described here is made of wood. Otherwise, if you're dealing with something that's metal, then things would be terribly obvious as being unfit. But we're dealing with wooden items. The aleph in the illustration is the Zohar, and the beis is the Nekeva. The aleph is described as the handle of the chetz, of the arrow, and the beis is the actual chetz. So that aleph in that picture, in that illustration, is the Zohar. And you can see how in making an arrow, you would insert the aleph into the beis. The term Nekeva also is described as a base kibble, a receiver, a receptacle. Now let's turn to the Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda Amarav, Sochacha b'chitzim, a person covered his sukkah using chitzim. And again, chitzim are arrows, but there are two parts. If he covered his sukkah with zechorim, shera, b'nekevos, psula. If he used the zechorim, then that kind of schach covering would be acceptable. If he used the nekevos part of the chetz, unacceptable. Zechorim shera pshita. Well, do I need Rav Yehuda Amarav to tell me that which is obvious? To take the zechorim part of the chetz and use that as schach? That's obviously kosher. What do I need Rav Yehuda Amarav for? So, mahu detema, I would have thought without him, nigzar zechorim alto nekevos. Let us prevent the use of zechorim in anticipation of if someone uses zechorim, they might come to use nekevos. And nekevos are patently unacceptable. They have a receptacle area, and being that they are, we call that a base kibble, they are capable of absorbing tuma. They're dover hamakabel tuma, and as a result of that, they are not kosher for schach. The zechorim, on the other hand, are smooth in the sense that they don't have any receptacle area. They are put into the nekeva, but they themselves don't hold anything. The nekeva holds the zohar, but the zohar doesn't hold anything. It's ein lo beis kibul. And Rashi points out, even though it might be termed a vessel, and up till now we've mentioned in passing the things that are vessels are capable of absorbing tuma, nevertheless, another rule says that wooden vessels that don't have a receptacle area are not mekabel tuma. So the chiddush of Rav Yehuda Amarav is we allow you to use zechorim, and we don't restrict it in anticipation of your coming to use nekevos. The Gemara continues. B'nekevos psula pshita. The teaching of Rav Yehuda Amarav included that the use of nekevos is unacceptable. Well, is that not obvious? As per all the information we shared already, that creates that has a base kibul to it, that has a receptacle area, is unfit. It's a davar makabel tuma. I know then it's not fit for schach even without Rav Yehuda Maran telling me so. Mahu de tema. Without Rav Yehuda Maran, I might have thought that there's another principle, and it's called base kibul ha'asui lamalois, lo shmei kibul. I would have thought. Now this is, again, I said a principle, but it's more of a description. I might have thought that a receptacle that is made for permanent filling, in other words, it's not like, let's say, a cup you fill with a beverage, you consume the beverage, the cup is now empty, you refill it, drink again, it's empty, fill, full, empty, full, empty. That's a standard base kibul. However, there are receptacles that when you put the item that fills them, they remain there permanently, which is the case when you're making an arrow in the manufacturer. There are two separate halves to it, but once they are fastened, it remains that way permanently. In the Book of Illustrations, you have other cases. You have a ball that has a leather outer covering, and then you fill it with other material. It used to, and I don't know how baseballs are manufactured today, but in years gone by, you had a leather outer covering, and it was filled with a very densely woven thread and string. And that's what the stuffing was of a baseball. Once a baseball is filled, the filling is not meant to be taken out. It's called a permanent filling. And the nikevos in our case is described by the Gemara as a base kibul asu lamalos. And one might have thought, lo shmei kibul. That's not considered. It's not considered a standard base kibul. And being that the nikevos, as is something that when filled would be permanently filled, even though right now it's not full, but when filled, it's designed to remain filled, so it's not considered a base kibul. That's what I would have thought. And if it's not considered a base kibul, it would be categorized then as pshute kli'etz, as smooth, non-receptacle wooden vessels. And if that were the case, it would be kosher as schach. Kamash malon, Rav Yehuda Marav tells me that these nikevos are puzzle, and even though you might think it's a base kibul osu lamalos, that doesn't, and it should be categorized as non-base kibul, not so. It's still unfit. Again, the slash mark indicates that the following is a new trend of thought. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei mivne heading. A double underline will appear. And the gist of the upcoming Gemara, the next couple lines, deal with pishton kischach, using flax. Flax is a plant. And using flax as a schach covering. We will be focusing, let's just point out that flax is the plant from which linen is made. The Gemara will be dealing with shlavei yitzur, will be dealing with the stages of a linen manufacture, starting with the raw flax plant. Now, it might be fairly obvious that if you use a plant, it's not food, it's a plant, ultimately can be manufactured into something, into material, into something that's mekabel tuma, but the plant as it is, it's a raw plant, it's not mekabel tuma, it's gidula minoris, that's something we kosher for schach. So you take that one extreme, it's quite okay, a raw flax plant. The other extreme, if once you have the threads that are made from the flax plant, and you attempt to make a sheet of linen or even strings of linen threads and cover your sukkah with that, that's obviously not going to be kosher for schach, because string is something that is mekabel tuma based on exeris akosuv. Strings, balls of string, are makabel tuma. So this Gemara will be discussing the issue of the pishtan, the flax, somewhere in between the raw stage and the final product. Before we get into the Gemara text itself, it might be of some benefit to look at pictures. Page 37, you see picture 185, Hutznei Pishtan, Pirush Rashi Kamosha Gobal. So we're going to see this expression in the Gemara, Hutznei. It's a reference to the basic raw flax plant. In picture 186, it's a magnification of the flax plant stalk, if you will. It's a magnification of that. You can see there are strands that are within that cutaway section. What in the manufacture, just to mention one of the several steps, when that is subjected to pressure or crushed, it then frays into its individual strands, and from that, from the strands of this plant, you would eventually produce the thread from which you would weave the linen. So if you bear that in mind, you can turn the page of your Pirush Chai to page 38, illustration 187, where after the plant in 186 was crushed, you would then be able to take the fibers and comb them. And the term appropriate for the combing, the combed, is anitze pishtan, and those are eventually twined into thread. The thread, we're not even going to talk about, that's clearly unfit for schach. Let us now go back to our Daf Gemara, Shas Ozer, where we have some additional points, additional notes, and under our Nosei Mivne heading, we have some terms that we wrote in, taken from the Gemara. Anitze is Psula, Hutzni is Kshera, and Hushni is Suffix, somewhere in the middle. On the side, the other side of the Gemara, we noted Shlovim B'Hachonas HaPishton. There are stages, just physical stages. One is Tori, soaking, Shori B'Mayim, that's to soak the plant in water. Stage 2, Daik B'Machteshes, that's crushing it, crushing the plant, enabling the fibers to separate apart. And number 3, Nofitz B'Masrek, that's combing it. Under that, in our notation, we have Anitze Pishtan. We made reference to that, and we said before, Anitze is Psula. What is Anitze Pishtan? It's Achar Tikun B'Masrek. It's after the combing. Posel L'Schach. Hutzni Pishtan. What is that? Shum Tikun. Kamoshi Godel. It's the plant without any preparatory stages. Kosher, that's acceptable. Hushni, another term. Suffolk. Now, what's the suffolk? Well, it's an interim stage. It's not the raw plant, and then it's not the final strands either. It's not the final fibers either. You know, after it's pre-combing. So Hushni is presented as a suffolk. Aleph Tori Velodayek. Hushni might be a case of having been soaked but not crushed. Or Tori Vidayik. It's been soaked and crushed, but it simply hasn't been combed yet. All of that, of course, is background information. We turn to the Gemara. Omar Rabo Bar Chanom Rabbi Yochanan. The Rashi adds across from here, Omar Rabba Barachana Shamati Shloisha Dvarim Rabbi Yochanan. I heard three things from Rabbi Yochanan. Hashnayim Piresh Vashlishi Heshivaini Yodea. This is a little reminiscent of Rav Yankiv on Omid Aleph, also quoting Rabbi Yochanan, but that's just a a simple connection, but nothing more than that. He says, I heard three things from Rabbi Yochanan. Two of them he explained. The third, Rabbi Yochanan himself said, I don't know. So now we continue in the Gemara. Sochecha ba'anitze pishton. Psula. We mentioned diagram 187. Covering your schach with the post-combed, the after-the-combing fibers is unacceptable. It's not kosher for schach. Rashi points out that at that point it's fit for, it's capable of becoming tomei, tumas negoyim. So anitze pishton is out of the question. That's posel for schach. And if just you can always refer to the points on the side of the Gemara, what anitze was after the combing. Behutzni pishton ksheira, hutzni, we saw illustrations of it, 185, 186, covering with the raw plant, that's okay. The hushni pishton, this is the third point of Rabbi Yochanan, concerning which we saw in Rashi, we saw before, where Rabbi Yochanan said, I don't know about this. Hushni, hushni pishton eini yodea mahu, I don't know what, point one is, I don't know what the din is regarding hushni. And number two, hushni atzman eini yodea. I don't even know what their nature is. What would Rabbi Yochanan call hushni? Now the Gemara goes on to tell me what the two sides of the doubt are. Ma nefshach e dayik velo nofitz. Hushni kori lei. If dayak means crushed but not combed, in other words, it's been soaked and crushed but hasn't been combed, he calls that hushni. Avotori velo dayak, however, something that has only been soaked, it hasn't been crushed at all, hutzni kori lei. So that he would call hutzni, which is this, which would then be the same as something not soaked at all and kosher for schach. Oy dilma, or possibly tori velodayik nami hushni kori lei. It could be that something that was merely soaked, even without being crushed, he calls that hushni, and he terms that a suffix. He says that that would not, we are in doubt as to whether that would be acceptable. So according to the Aleph possibility, the simple soaking, soaked thing would be clearly kosher for schach. According to the Bay's possibility, the simple soaking stage would already categorize it as something that's suffix and don't use it. We continue with new materials, and on the side of the Gemara, a triangle is featured. Under our, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. The triangle says Hani is highlighted triangle. We have Shoshi Vishvatsri, and the second triangle, which appears at the top of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, the second line of the, from the top, Hizmi Vehigi. Now, what are these things? Chorim Shonim. Now, take note of the fact that we've used a dashed underlining as well. These are different materials. Shaleim chokim abaye bar plukta in ksheirim l'schach. We'll see in this Gemara Abaye arguing with someone. In under each triangle, Abaye will appear, but a different counter opinion will appear alongside Abaye in each case. But so we're going to deal with different materials and their acceptability or lack thereof as schach. Omar Rav Yehuda. We continue in the Gemara, three lines from the bottom. Omar Rav Yehuda, Hani Shoshi Shvatsri Misachin Behu. Rashi, in describing these things, in addition to some French words, he just points out they are types of vegetables. Now, the term vegetable, don't jump to conclusions in saying that it's something that you necessarily eat. But all he says, mine yirokos. So, Rav Yehuda tells us that shoshi shvasri misachon behen. Why? They're not fit for human consumption. And as a result of that, they're not mekabel tuma. Or I should say, since people don't eat them, they're not mekabel tuma, and they do grow from the ground, so they have the characteristics of kosher schach. Abai Omar b'shoshi misachachin. There's agreement with regard to the shoshi. However, b'shvatzri b'mazol misachachin. My time, why should one not use shvatzri? After all, people don't eat it. So why is it no good? Kavon, we continue at the top of Yud Gimel Amal Aleph. Desori rechayu. Since they have a foul odor, shovik la v'nafik, people will leave the sukkah. So you cannot make a sukkah, you cannot prepare a schach and put on a sukkah where it's going to cause people to leave. Omer of Cholon bar Rova, hani hizmi v'higi mesachachin v'hu. Hizmi and higi are branches from different types of bushes. Rashi says, mine sneh. The sneh might be familiar to some of you from the story in the Chumash where Moshe Rabbeinu encounters the burning bush. That was the sneh bo'er bo'esh. The sneh is a type of bush. So, hizmi v'higi, the Rav Chonon says, you can use eschach. Abaye Omar, again, you see Abaye disagrees and he says, behizmi mesachachin, behigi lo mesachachin. There's agreement with regard to the hizmi, but not with regard to the higi. My taimo, what's the problem with the higi? Kevon de nasri tirpayu, since their leaves fall, they'll fall into your food. Shavik lo v'nafik, a person will leave his sukkah. So you see, Abaye is consistent with what he said before, that you shall not use materials that are going to cause a person to leave his sukkah. So that even though in terms of the material themselves inherently they have the characteristics of kosher schach, they're enom mekabel tuma, they're gidula min haaretz, nevertheless, because of this tangential consideration that they will cause people to leave the sukkah, do not use them as schach. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.